The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
It's time to immerse yourself in the world of college football. ESPN 1000 has studied hard and has all the answers. This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Advanced degrees not required. Understanding the Wildcat? Essential. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
And now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. It is Championship Saturday. Championship Saturday is here, Abdallah. Here we go. We're presented by Nissan. We're live today at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. And boy, are we ready to drink some Coors Light and hang out and watch some college football as the first championship game on this Saturday kicks off in just moments. Big 12 game. Baylor and Oklahoma State will be on ABC at 11 a.m. That game's going to kick soon. But we're here to talk about all the games as the finale of this show, Chicago's College Tailgate, takes place today.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. You know, it's been a great season. I love talking college football with everybody, but today's it's the end. It's the end for some teams. It's probably the end for my team in Alabama. And we get to watch hopefully some good games. Hopefully it's not like yesterday's Pac-12 championship game. What's wrong with your conference, man?
Well, listen,
what's wrong with your conference?
People want to know why Lincoln Riley is going west and heading to L.A., it's because take a look at what we saw in Las Vegas last night with Utah running all over Oregon, 38-10. And to be honest, the game was actually more out of hand than the score even indicates because Oregon scored that touchdown in the fourth quarter, but basically they didn't score at all in the first half. They were shut out in the first half. They get 3 points in the third quarter. But Utah, how about this? In back-to-back games against Oregon, there was a lot of talk heading into that matchup on what Utah could do to perhaps game plan against a team where everything worked in the last matchup. Well, everything worked again.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario Cristobal is now a hot name, rumored to be possibly heading to Miami if that job opens up. So there's a lot going on with the Oregon Ducks. But the Pac-12, you know, for your championship game, people actually showed up in Las Vegas now that the championship game is there on a Friday night.
It's a great spot to have it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is why Lincoln Riley's going to USC, because it's a conference that's completely winnable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at what Utah did, right? They limited Oregon to 74 yards rushing, 147 yards passing. Like, just complete dominance from Utah's defense. And the Oregon's defense was trying. They were trying very hard. But there were just a bunch of turnovers in the game. You know, Oregon threw two interceptions in that game. Like, it was just... You just saw the game plan from 2 weeks ago, and it just came to fruition once again as Utah wins the Pac-12. But another year where until they expand and get a guaranteed bid, the Pac-12 is shut out from the college football playoff once again.
Yeah, and it's something that for college football overall, you know, having teams all over the country is good for college football. Only having the teams that can win a national title being in the South, it is not good for the greater attention of the nation when it comes to the conversation of college football.
No.
You need teams in the North and in the West to be in the conversation, like Notre Dame and Ohio State, and you need a team out west like USC and Oregon as well to be in play each and every year to kind of make it a conversation that's just not on the Paul Feinbaum show. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the problem sometimes college football runs into, is that the only teams that get a chance to try and win a national title are those teams that are in the Southeast Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, is it good for college football that they're potentially could be two SEC teams in the college football playoff if Alabama finds a way to beat Georgia today? Probably not. For the entire world of college football, probably not. But at the same time, if those are the four best teams, you want the four best matchups.
Because
the committee gets in there and says, hey, who would beat who? Who faces off against who? Is this a better matchup against this matchup? Is this team better matched up against this team? And the Pac-12 regardless of Oregon would have won that game or not, I don't think they would have had a case. You would have had to have everybody lose, and then they would have been like, all right, well, maybe Oregon, maybe, because at this point, they're just not, they just don't seem good enough. Like, the Pac-12 conference just isn't good enough. They eat their own. They're like, I'm trying to think of an animal that eats its own, that eats its babies or something like that, like spiders. Like, spiders are weird like that. Don't they eat their babies, or the Black Widow eats their mate?
Know.
The Black Widow eats their mate after, you know.
Apparently hamsters.
Hamsters?
Schlub is here from the Twitch chat.
Shout out.
You can watch the show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. And by the way, if you're watching on Twitch, Adam Abdallah has a fantastic birthday cake that I purchased for him this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It is his birthday, so
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday
appreciate
to
that.
Abdallah.
Thank you.
You're 25, right?
Yes. Not a day over 25.
Well, you're the young guy here at the station, so
yeah,
want to make sure that you...
I started at this station when I graduated in, I don't remember, 2007?
Yeah.
So that would have made me 23? Yeah. So, yeah, I'm still 23.
So you can see the cake on Twitch. Are you going to eat this entire thing today?
I'm not going to eat the whole thing. I'm going to share it with my college football friends that are here. And napkins and whatnot.
I got chocolate for you.
Oh, you did? I like chocolate. I do like chocolate. It's getting a little sweaty, so we might want to cut this thing open soon.
It is not.
Why
a...
Why is it sweaty?
I don't know, man, but yes. What's the cake sweat?
I appreciate them spelling my name right, because you can clearly tell that something was added that they did not expect. Like, somehow someone did not know how to spell Adam, and also someone didn't account for how big the word birthday is.
The birthday goes on to the balloons.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. As the Carcinos also walk in here.
Wow, look at this.
The Iowa Hawkeyes, well represented. Oh,
wow.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Balloons.
Look at us, both underdogs today. How did we get here?
Wow.
Who'd have thought?
What a day.
Who'd have thought?
Championship Saturday.
Yeah, listen.
Celebrating your birthday with a loss against Georgia. How about that?
This is probably the highest point I'll be during the day. Not literally. That'll be later. I'll need something to alleviate the pain that Georgia is going to inflict on Alabama. And I know we're going to talk about that matchup a little bit later on, but... Like, you're a USC fan for the last few years, so you know just going into a game when you have no shot whatsoever. Like, I don't believe there is any chance. Now, I will say this. Breaking news here on ESPN 1000. Lee Corso has put on the elephant head.
Did he really?
He put on the elephant head.
He's picking Alabama.
He picked Alabama.
Wow.
He picked Alabama, which might be the kiss of death, but he did pick Alabama. Which is fine. It's great. Sure. Awesome. I just hope it's close. Just all I want for my birthday today is it to be close. I don't want this to be over at halftime, which I think it could be. I just want it to be close. And people have been – we'll get into the matchup. But this is a Georgia team that's unlike any other that they've had. They're looking to finally get over the hump of beating Alabama, which they haven't been able to do the last few years. And I think this is the year that Kirby Smart finally does it.
I think Corso knows it's your birthday because he's a man after your heart.
He is.
Did you hear him earlier on the show on College Game Day earlier today suggesting that Cincinnati, no matter what they do today, should not be involved in the college football playoff?
No, look, I've come around, and I think they should be because they're undefeated. Because here's what's going to happen. In a couple of years, this is going to expand. And in a couple of years, Cincinnati's going to be in a conference. So they're going to be able to get in, whether Fickell stays or not. I think he should stay until Ohio State becomes available if Ryan Day should leave. But it's somewhere where he's built a program. He recruits really well in that state, in the state of Ohio. And they've built something. And let them in. And you know what? If it ends up being them in Michigan, they might give Michigan a game. If it's them and they fall, or it's them in Georgia, maybe not. Because if Alabama loses, they're probably going to move Cincinnati up and they'll move Oklahoma State in, right? If Michigan wins and Georgia wins, and that's probably what's going to happen. So you'll probably get Cincinnati against Michigan. I think they might be able to give Michigan a game. If it's them against Georgia, I'm sorry. That's not going to. But we see this every year. Every year there's a game, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's Michigan State, whether sometimes it's Oklahoma, whether sometimes it's any other team in the first round. Sometimes teams just get trucked, and that's just what happens. And people want to expand and be like, oh, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Like, Georgia is going to beat down anybody that they play in the first. You're giving the best coaches in college football a month to prepare, and they're going to take advantage of any – weakness that you have. And it's just like when Michigan State played Alabama in the first round, they didn't cross the 50 till the fourth quarter. Like, you, there's certain things that, like, oh, these teams are great. But when you start beating, when you start facing the upper echelon, the ones and the twos of the of college football this year, especially Georgia, the way their defense has been playing, and now their offense is coming around too. They have the third best offense in the country. I just don't see it.
It's Black and Abdallah here talking college football with you. It's Chicago's College Tailgate live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. Come hang out. The doors are open. The Coors Light is flowing here early as we have college football on TV. Oklahoma State and Baylor has kicked off. That game is underway. The Big 12 Championship. We will be talking about Georgia and Alabama. That game comes up at 3 o'clock later on today in the SEC. Michigan and Iowa. They play in the Big Ten Championship game. That's tonight on Fox. There's a lot to kind of get to. The AAC Championship, Cincinnati and Houston. That matchup will be at 3 o'clock. And then also in the ACC, we have Pittsburgh and Wake Forest for your championship Saturday. Also, Northern Illinois playing for the MAC Championship right now as well.
How about Coach of the Year?
How about this? Look at this. And also, it's your birthday.
Oh, it is. We're at home. We got to go to break. Yeah, what are we doing here? I'm on the air.
You're the birthday boy.
Hold on. I don't want to hurt the cake.
All right. Birthday boy. There you go.
Right, what does this do? What do we do? What
well,
is, oh, hi.
I have to hold this.
I have to hold this.
Rack.
Okay.
Okay.
Not, I get it. That's fine. Oh, God, the microphone. These are
here.
Jokes.
Can I get one over here? Yes.
But watch out for the cables. That probably looked funny on Twitch.
This is live on the radio.
Yo, this is live on the radio right now. No one's doing play-by-play. This sounds super weird.
Just watching it.
Everybody's taking pictures.
He's holding up
this
a nice rack.
Yeah, this is what it says.
Happy
nice
birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Oh, here you go. Here's your nice rack back. I know. No, thank you. I don't know if I could bring the nice rack home.
It's Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. It's Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate. We'll continue talking college football with you here on ESPN 1000. A lot of coaches have landed new gigs in the last week since the last time we were on. We are going to talk about Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly coming up next.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate, presented by Nissan, live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace, courtesy of our friends at Coors Light.
Listen to Chicago's home for sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
We are presented by Nissan, also brought to you by SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. And Coors Light is the reason that we're out today. It's we're at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace, Abdallah. And to be honest for a second, if we didn't have Nissan, SGCSportsInfo.com, and Coors Light, this show wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to our fantastic
Absolutely.
Partners who allow us to do this show each and every Saturday throughout the fall. It's been so much fun. It's great to go out, hang out with our great listeners, hang out with our fans, and to watch college football and to talk college football throughout the fall. Here on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, absolutely. The mountains have been cold all season long. They've been blue all season long. They're extra cold here. They actually have a temperature thing. I said they're 29 degrees right now. 29 degrees.
Yeah.
The mountains are 29 degrees right now. It's cold. So come on out. We're here till 1 o'clock. We're at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. Drink some Coors Light with us. It's going to be great. Come have a piece of cake. If anybody wants a piece of cake, come on up. We'll start cutting it. It'll
a sweaty cake.
I don't know why it's sweating. Like, I'm sure it's good.
Well, we're sitting underneath heaters right now.
And
the cake was in the...
It was in your fridge?
No, it was in the fridge at the store. So,
oh, okay.
So it was cold, and that's where you get the sweat there.
All right.
I'm no Bill Nye, but I think that's how it happens.
Yeah. I'm not Bobby.
You take the cake out of the fridge, you put it under a heater, and boom, you get sweat.
I'm not Guy Fieri. I don't know how food works. But
yeah, it's true.
I don't know why it's sweating. Or Cake Boss? Should I say Cake Boss?
Cake Boss, yeah, no, that's good. I'm also shout out to Home Field because I'm wearing a Texas shirt today to honor Steve Sarkisian in his first season at Texas. Seven wins, Sark. He couldn't even get to seven wins, Sark. He couldn't get the seven wins in Austin in his first season. You're in your Alabama gear, and Home Field has supported the show throughout the year as well.
They're so soft. It's the college football uniform. I've worn it every single week except for the week I went to Vegas. I didn't pack it with me. And guess what happened the week I didn't wear it, Chris. They lost to Texas A&M. So, yeah, is it a good luck hoodie? Yeah, it is. And so I've worn it every single week except for the week they lost. Coincidence? I think not. Home field magic is a real thing. And when you go against home field magic, you get home field black magic. And it's evil magic. And it makes you lose against Texas A&M. And maybe if you lose against Georgia today, then you're out of the playoff. I'm not talking about Alabama. I might be. We'll see. But, yeah, it's comfortable. It's great. Hopefully when they lose today, home field, there's another Alabama sweatshirt on the website that I would love, but it's sold out, and it would be great if they restocked that so I could bundle myself in a warm embrace to alleviate some of the pain from this loss that's coming today.
The promo code for home field is ESPN Chicago. You save 15% on your first purchase. So check them out.
Chicago.
They are fantastic. We are so happy that we were able to partner with home field throughout this college football season. And hopefully more down the road here with Black and Abdallah. So we need to talk about this. The last time we were on the air last Saturday, we were talking about the coaching carousel and the possible openings around college football. We're talking about LSU. We're talking about USC. Virginia Tech was open last weekend. And this was Saturday. And we were talking about the names that would be available for those schools to go after. And then Sunday takes place. And a late night phone call, a U-Up phone call from Mike Bone to Lincoln Riley, because as the week kind of went on, Lincoln's story kind of changed on when that first phone call happened.
Yeah.
Originally, it was early in the morning on Sunday. Then it turned into late Saturday night. But at some point after Oklahoma lost in Bedlam against Oklahoma State, USC reached out and gauged the interest of Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
And a day later, hours later, Lincoln Riley takes the job at USC. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll get into the USC-Lincoln Riley hiring and what that means for the rest of college football in a second, but to continue with the timeline, we then go a day later to Monday, and you and I are on the air Monday night, and we're talking about this big move in college football of a coach leaving the Big 12 from a team that will be joining the SEC, the most powerful conference in all of college football,
well tied,
to go out to the West. And we just got done talking 10 minutes ago about the fact that the Pac-12 is down and has been down for quite some time.
Yeah.
So Lincoln Riley's going west. We're doing the show, Black and Abdallah, weeknight 6 to 8 on ESPN 1000. And then we see from Pete Thamel report that LSU is going to make a run at Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
And so we spent most of the time on our show on Monday night talking about, wow, what would that mean for Notre Dame? What would that mean for LSU? Is Brian Kelly even the type of coach that LSU should be looking at? And then within the next, you know,
like hour,
2 hours,
yeah,
he accepted the gig at LSU.
Well, this stuff happens fast.
So for the next day, all we talked about on Tuesday was Brian Kelly heading to the Bayou. So two big-time coaches at big-time universities leaving to go to two universities, if you look at the grand scheme of things of college football, you would argue that LSU and SC are both bigger, higher-profile jobs in Oklahoma and Notre Dame. And don't come at me fighting Irish fans. It's just the reality of the matter is that LSU is one of the five gigs in all of college football when we look at the true top powers in the landscape of all of college football.
Yeah, there's two sides to this, right? Well, with Brian Kelly first. The first side is, okay, he's been at Notre Dame for 12 years now. Has he accomplished everything that he can at Notre Dame? I think so. He's never really had a Heisman candidate quarterback at Notre Dame. He's had Heisman candidates before, but he's never had that quarterback who can, you know, take him over the hump. They've been to a BCS championship when that was still going on, and they were throttled by Alabama. They go to a college football playoff, they get beat badly again. So had he reached his ceiling at Notre Dame? I think he did. I think he's a good recruiter. He knows the area. And then he's a very good head coach. He's a great head coach. He's got the most wins in Notre Dame history. So when a job became available at LSU, it didn't really make sense at the time. And I still kind of think it doesn't really make that much sense because now you have the run of the land in the Midwest, basically. Like, you've got Illinois, you've got Wisconsin, you've got Iowa, or you've got Michigan, you've got Ohio, you've got Iowa, you've got all these Midwest states
yeah.
that people that go to, we've talked about it before, that go to Catholic schools, believe that, like, they're one place. Like, they only want to go to Notre Dame. And you can get really good recruits. I mean, you get players that play in the NFL. Cole Kmet, tight end for the Bears, right? So you get players that are good enough to play in the NFL. Now you have to recruit and go to LSU and recruit against Saban and recruit against Kirby Smart and recruit against Jimbo Fisher and recruit against Lane Kiffin. And some of the best recruiters in the game are in the SEC, and now you have to go there and try to compete. And yes, the three letters on the uniform, LSU, that's going to get recruits there just the same way the gold helmets did to Notre Dame. Some kids just want to go to LSU. They're from that area. They grew up in Louisiana. They want to go to LSU more than anything in the world. And you're going to get some recruits that way. But if you're a kid and you're debating between going and playing for Saban or Kirby Smart or now Brian Kelly or Jimbo Fisher, like, you have a legit problem on your hands, because you have to consider, do I play for a dude that's now taken over and had the best recruiting classes the last couple of years in Kirby Smart? Do I play for the dude that walks in and sets the rings on the table and I know I'm going to be able to win a championship here, or at least compete for one? Or do you go to LSU, where he's going to, like, he's got to do work a lot harder, I think, to get kids to go to LSU than he did to have to convince kids to go to Notre Dame?
He has to work a lot harder, but the recruiting landscape in the South is much more rich. So, like, he does have to work harder, because what you laid out in being in the SEC, in having a division in the SEC West, where Alabama, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Auburn, and LSU. Think about the coaches in that conference. You listed them off. But, like, okay, so the worst coach in the conference is, what, Arkansas's?
Yeah.
But they're the 22nd ranked team in the country right now. And they're on the upward trajectory. So, like, what, Auburn is the worst one? Like, Auburn's a sleeping giant when it comes to schools around college football.
And also, not to mention, in a couple of years here, he's also going to be recruiting against Texas and Oklahoma, two big brands in college football. Like, yeah, they're down, and Oklahoma had a down. Obviously, Lincoln Riley left because he's scared of coming to the SEC. I mean, if you're scared, don't. That's fine. Go win the Big 12 or Pac 12, whatever. That's fine. But then also, like, Texas is. I know Sarkisian's not doing a good job this year, but it's still a big brand. Like, it's a big brand college football program that you have to recruit against.
I think the thing, though, with Brian Kelly, if you're looking on it from a positive side of things, his 2022 class for Notre Dame is the fifth ranked class in the country.
Mm hmm.
So then you say, you take that recruiting tactics and you move that down to the South in Louisiana, where if you can just get kids to stay home down there, you're immediately going to rise maybe even higher. You know?
But who's 1, 2, 3?
Well, you know, 1, 2, 3, it's Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. And
he's exactly where he is.
But I would say the argument here for him is that this is the move, this is the lateral move that Jimbo Fisher made from Florida State to Texas A&M. Because Jimbo Fisher could have stayed at Florida State.
Yeah.
And he could have had a power that was in the college football playoff almost every other year, fighting with Clemson for those honors. But instead, he wanted to be at a power in the SEC because of what comes with that. So he jumped to Texas A&M, obviously the money as well. I feel like that's what this is comparable to. Brian Kelly could have stayed at Notre Dame and continued to get top five classes and continued to sniff around the college football playoff. I don't think they're going to get there this year. I don't think that's in the cards now that they're sitting sixth. And it's clearly
the committee made a statement.
Clearly, the committee likes Oklahoma State.
No, they said it. We're holding the fact that he's gone against the school. They use those exact words.
Right, but Gary Barta this morning on College Game Day on ESPN, he's the head of the College Football Playoff Committee. He said that now that they've settled on Marcus Freeman to be the head coach.
Oh, BS.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Notre Dame's coach
won't factor into the equation.
Okay, but you already factored it in.
But let me finish.
You can't unfactor the factor.
Here's what I mentioned it in the first place. I mentioned in the first place is because they really like Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State has two top 15 wins, and if they win today against Baylor, they'll win a conference championship and it will be their third. That's why they're ahead of Notre Dame.
But it's Notre Dame. Notre Dame is Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame is separate from all of that. Like, no, that doesn't matter.
I'm explaining to you what Gary Barta said this morning.
But Gary Barta said different stuff 2 days ago.
Well,
like,
Freeman. They like the way that
Marcus Freeman was going to be there regardless.
Not necessarily. He could have gone with Brian Kelly.
Yeah, but he probably would have stayed to coach the bowl game, or at least to find out whether or not they were going to be in the playoff. Because why not? I think you're finding out a lot about Brian Kelly, because here's the thing.
Well, yeah.
As the second Lincoln Riley went to USC, you heard, this coach is going, this strength coach is going, this guy's going. And then what else happened? All these recruits started flipping. Have you heard one recruit?
No, so let's talk about that coming up next. We're live at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. It's Black and Abdallah at Chicago's College Tailgate. We'll get a score update with Tyler Aki coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. Watch us on Twitch, follow ESPN 1000 Chicago, and listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Just don't get that frosting on my Lincoln Riley notes, Abdallah.
Got frosting on the headset. It's okay.
All right, it's Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We are live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. We're watching college football. We're drinking Coors Light. We're hanging out. And we're going to talk about Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly in just a second. But let's get a top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Tyler.
What's going on, gentlemen?
So, Tyler, we're going to save you a piece of cake, okay?
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
It's sweaty. I don't know.
Is it sweaty?
Well, yeah, it's like dripping now. This
what
is
do
not,
you mean?
I think that's natural for
right
cake,
here.
Though. I think it's supposed to do that. That's a sign of a healthy cake.
A healthy cake drips.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the scores here.
All
Big
right.
12 championship. Baylor just got on the board with a touchdown. They've got the lead over Oklahoma State right now, 7-3. Northern Illinois and Thomas Hammack, coach of the program.
Woo.
He's got the 10-0 lead over Kent State in the MAC championship. And for those who missed it last night, Utah took down Oregon 38-10, and UTSA a 49-41 victory over Western Kentucky.
Thank you, Tyler. And Tyler will update the scoreboard around college football every 30 minutes here on Chicago's College Tailgate. And thank you to Tyler for providing those updates throughout the season and producing this silly show that we have, Chicago's College Tailgate. Shout out to you, Tyler. All right, Abdallah. So with Brian Kelly, here's the thing. Does it say more about Brian Kelly or Notre Dame that his top-level coordinators and the people who are around him at the program decide to stay at ND? Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator, is their head coach now going forward. You got to love that hire. Also, Tommy Rees will stay as the offensive coordinator. He's out recruiting for the Fighting Irish. The pieces are still in place in South Bend. Does it say more about Brian Kelly, or does it say more about the lore and the history and the draw that former ND athletes have to Notre Dame?
Yes, both. Because Marcus Freeman's getting a head coaching job. You know, like, he's not going to leave. If they said to him, hey, you're not going to get the head coaching job, he might have gone. But also, Marcus Freeman's been someone that's been in the conversation for head coaching jobs around the country. So the fact that he got a head coaching job out of this, that says something about Notre Dame, because he wants to get a head coaching job. He wants to stay at Notre Dame. I think it says a lot about Brian Kelly, because you have Tommy Rees, who, if you follow it, they offered him a job at LSU, and he stayed at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now, they matched the contract, so he would stay, but he stayed at Notre Dame to keep recruiting and keep being their offensive coordinator. I also think it says a lot, too, about Notre Dame, and more, and also the same about Brian Kelly, that you haven't seen any recruits flip yet. Like, you're getting reports of all these five-star athletes flipping from Oklahoma and going to USC now with Lincoln Riley. Whereas when you look at with Notre Dame, you said they had the fifth best recruiting class coming in next year. I haven't seen anybody that's going to flip and go to Brian Kelly. And that might be because I don't know how much recruiting he's actually doing. Is this all Tommy Rees being in these kids' living rooms and talking to the parents and that kind of stuff? Is this all, you know, Marcus Freeman being there and talking to everybody and they want to go play for those guys? I think it says a lot about him, because if I'm a kid and I'm like, oh, Lincoln Riley's going to USC, I'm from the area, I'm staying in that area. Whereas all these kids, like we just talked about last segment, a lot of them are from the area. They probably want to stay and go to Notre Dame because they like Notre Dame more than the school. I think the coaching staff says a lot. Like, when your coaching staff doesn't follow you and you want to take some of the guys, like, he wanted to take Tommy Rees with him. Tommy Rees didn't go. Tommy Rees will join Waddle and Sylvie on Tuesday to talk about it a little more. But I think it says a lot about the program of Notre Dame, but it also says Kind of what we knew about Brian Kelly. Like, Brian Kelly's, he's changed, but you can only change so much. Like, he's changed his on-field approach to games. We don't get the red-faced Brian Kelly screaming at a quarterback with, you know, 5 minutes left in the game because they threw an interception or didn't throw it out of bounds and took a sack or something like that. But behind the scenes, I think we're finding out everything we need to know about Brian Kelly.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you. I feel as if sometimes when these guys jump to a new place, you said it well with the way there was a response from the assistants and those who worked around Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma that many of them are going with him to USC. And the moment that they decided that, they were on the ground running. Mm-hmm. And they were flipping recruits. And USC was coming into this, the early signing day is on December the 15th. So we're 11 days away from the early signing day for the next college football class, right? And so the moment Lincoln Riley took the gig last Sunday, they were out trying to flip guys from Oklahoma to USC. Mm-hmm. And we have yet to see any of that for LSU flipping anyone from Notre Dame.
Well, the story is, too, that coaches were out recruiting and saw the news and had to go back into houses and say, hey, like, we just found out this news. Like, just everybody relax. We'll figure it out. Like, just hold on a second. Stick with us here. We'll figure it out. Because he didn't tell anybody.
Well, right. And so, like, I think what this all points to is, yeah, certainly, Tommy Rees went to Notre Dame. He wants to be there. Mm-hmm. But, like, money talks. And I get that they'll offer the same. But in the SEC, the assistants in the SEC make so much more money in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And for high-level people on Kelly's staff to not follow him to LSU, I think it says exactly what we kind of think about Brian Kelly, is that not many people like being around Brian Kelly.
Yeah, and I think you
might have good riddance.
Yeah, and you might have seen that from the way he approached the team and talked to them after, you know, that morning when he wanted a 7 a.m., you know, meeting with the team before he left.
Okay, first of all, if you're leaving, if you're breaking up Black and Abdallah and you're leaving the show to go, you know, you're gonna go to Fox.
Yeah.
Abdallah's going to have a show on Fox after Nick Wright.
Yeah.
And in between Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd.
Do I have to get the haircut or can I keep my
same
hair?
Same haircut.
No.
And Abdallah, if you say, hey, I'm going to tell everyone, but I'm going to call a 7 a.m. meeting.
I'm not going.
I'm going to say blank.
I'm not going.
Off.
Mom, I'm on the
I'm
air.
I'm not doing. She's calling you to say happy birthday. Answer your mom. She's calling to say happy birthday.
Mom, I'm on the air right now. I'll call you back later.
This is great. Yeah. What did you say?
She said, happy birthday, bye. I love that my parents don't know what I do for a living.
It's great. It's fantastic. Meanwhile, my parents are probably in the Twitch chat.
Yeah.
Right now, so chatting it up with the crew that's here at Twin Peaks. We're at Twin Peaks in Oak
Brook. But no, I'm just gonna send you the peace sign emoji because you're gonna know I'm out. That's all you need.
Well, but like that's the thing is like how big of a how big of a jerk move is it?
That's what you were gonna say. Okay.
I thought
you were gonna say how big of a deal it is. I'm like. Okay, so first
to call
of all,
a 7 a.m. meeting like
he
that.
Sent, he
They're
sent,
college kids.
He sent like the Substack or like the My Team's message to all of them.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, Slack.
Hey, man, check that.
Yeah, it's Tyler, like, the Slack.
Yeah, the Slack. That's what I was thinking of. The Slack message.
Hey, everyone.
To all of them.
I know there's stuff going around.
Isn't that
but,
enough?
But
don't
I'm
you?
Out.
Don't you? If you're Notre Dame, don't you say no? Marcus Freeman's gonna meet them and talk to them and talk them through this because we like him to be the next coach. We're not saying that we like him to be the next coach, but he's going to be the one coaching them in the bowl game. This staff is going to remain and stay and coach them in the bowl game. You don't get to talk to them again. I'm sorry. Like, you're doing this under the cover of darkness BS. You can get out.
I don't really have a problem with him talking to the team on his way out. I just think the like 7 a.m. thing is just like, because clearly, right, like he needed to get on his private jet and fly down to the bayou and do all this other
he
stuff. So he couldn't, you know, let college kids wake up at like 8 or 9 or whatever,
well,
get the
I
breakfast,
mean,
get their workout in.
They're college football players, so like I imagine they get up pretty early.
Know. At that age, I would have been annoyed at a 7 a.m. meeting.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, I would.
So I think what this all points to, though, is if you saw the video from Notre Dame of them announcing to the players that Marcus Freeman's going to be their next head coach.
Yeah.
And the players chanting and dancing and cheering for him around them inside of their facility. I think it tells you everything you need to know. I don't think those players care that Brian Kelly's leaving because they got the guys they like working with, Tommy Rees, Marcus Freeman. And I think Notre Dame is set up to have success going forward. And Brian Kelly's in for it because the SEC West is a different beast.
Well, yeah, and also I think you look at, you know, alumni like Golic Jr. talking about it, like all these people that have played for Notre Dame in the past coming out and supporting Marcus Freeman, not and like distancing themselves from what Brian Kelly did, all that kind of stuff. I think it's just it. And Marcus Freeman's going to, I think he's going to do a great job.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a great recruiter. He's a great coach. I think he fits the Notre Dame mindset, defense, hard-nosed football, run it down your throat type of style. Tommy Rees is a good offensive coordinator. I mean, if he's not going to get a look now, if he didn't go with him to LSU or stay, he was probably going to get some offensive coordinator positions available in the NFL that were coming up soon. So I think it's just great for him, and it's great for Notre Dame. Like, look, Brian, sometimes you need to break up. Like, this is probably time for him to break up. And listen, I don't know if he's going to be too sunburned to do anything at LSU, but I mean, he's already got the accent down apparently. So I just think it's going to be a struggle for him to recruit and get the guys he wants to be there.
It's such a weird thing. The whole accent, the phony accent, yeah. Used car salesman deal that he's doing.
It's weird. Listen, we've been in the South. It's a great place to go see a football game. They split your checks for you before you even ask. It's great.
You know, that is like a major bonus of going to restaurants in the South is they just assume four guys who are together eating a meal want separate checks.
You guys want separate checks?
It's beautiful.
Of course we do.
What a thing.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful.
I just can't wait till he just goes full. Like, by the time they get to, you know, the sixth game of the season, he's going to be full on Orgeron. He's just going to be like, all right, we're going to come out here. We're going to run the football. We're going to be great.
I mean, it depends. If they're losing football games.
No Tigers. Well, he's going to have to.
It's Blocking Abdallah. We are live at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. Come on out. Hang out with us. We're drinking Coors Light here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, Abdallah, we will have the playoff predictor. We'll try and figure out tomorrow, Selection Sunday, who will make the college football playoff. We'll have the playoff predictor coming up next here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace, this is Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah, presented by Coors Light.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2, and ESPN 1000.
Chicago's College Tailgate,
the playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
Black and Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook, hanging out here on ESPN 1000. Come on by. We're here till 1 o'clock today, watching college football, drinking Coors Light, and hanging out. As it seems as if Oklahoma State is in for trouble at the moment. It's 13-3, Baylor with the lead, extra point pending.
Ruh-roh.
For the Baylor Bears against one of the best teams defensively in all of college football, Oklahoma State. All right, Abdallah, here we go. Coming into today, Championship Saturday, we have all the conference championship games. Pac-12 was last night. The four teams in the college football playoff from this last week, Cincinnati at 4, Alabama 3, Michigan 2, Georgia 1. Now, a lot can take place today. As we look forward in the playoff predictor to try and figure out how this is going to shake out for tomorrow, the selection show is tomorrow, 11 o'clock on ESPN, Selection Sunday. Now, if Georgia wins, they're automatically in.
If they lose, they're in.
I think that's where things get interesting, right? Because if we go through the playoff predictor and assume that, for the most part, everything takes shape as we expect, but the only difference is that Georgia loses. Both Alabama and Georgia would both get in. Michigan and Cincinnati would get in. There's really not a whole lot of disruption that would take place.
You would probably move Bama up to 2, and then you can't move Georgia down below. I mean, they did lose to Alabama, so technically would Michigan be number 1 then?
Yeah. I think so.
So Michigan would be 1, Alabama would be 2, Georgia would be 3, and Cincinnati would still be 4.
So this is where then things I think personally get very interesting. Right now, Baylor At the start of the second quarter, is up 14-3 in Oklahoma State.
Ugh.
In the playoff predictor, I have selected Baylor to win that game, the Big 12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
If Georgia beats Alabama, we're assuming Alabama is removed from the equation.
Out.
The playoff predictor then says the playoff would be Georgia 1, Michigan 2, mm-hmm. Cincinnati 3, mm-hmm. and Notre Dame 4.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think if Oklahoma State loses, they're automatically out, obviously. Notre Dame then moves up, and someone is going to lose. Now, I don't think that Alabama is going to beat Georgia. I don't think Iowa is going to beat Michigan, and I think Cincinnati also beats Houston. So I think that what happens regardless, someone is moving in after Alabama moves out. So it might be Notre Dame if this score keeps up, but there's still three quarters of football left. So there's still a lot of time left. Now, Baylor is playing with a backup quarterback, so maybe he comes back down to earth here in a little bit. Oklahoma State's turned the ball over. That resulted in a touchdown. So it's been kind of a fluky game for Baylor to get this lead. Can they keep it? Oklahoma State's defense needs to step up here. So to me, the only thing that would create more chaos is if Houston beats Cincinnati.
Well, I've got this for you. Okay, so say Georgia wins.
Yeah.
Right? And then we go to, hold on, I was just clicking through it and I just lost it. Say Georgia wins.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan loses to Iowa.
Oh, no.
Houston beats Cincinnati.
Oh, wow.
And Baylor holds true and beats Oklahoma State.
Well, I've said it.
Do you want to know what the playoff predictor would be if that takes place?
I've said it before. No two lost teams in the playoffs.
Well.
Except.
Well, so if that takes place, if Baylor wins.
Except.
Cincinnati loses. Michigan loses.
However.
And Georgia beats Alabama.
Put them in.
The playoff predictor would then give us Georgia number one.
Yeah.
Alabama number two.
Roll Tide.
Notre Dame number three. And a team that loses in the Big Ten championship game, Michigan number four.
I don't think that happens.
That's what the playoff predictor has, if that's what takes place.
Well, the playoff predictor is not people. And
I'm just telling you. I'm just clicking through.
People
and
make this decision. I think
I'm giving you what it's kicking out.
No two lost teams in the playoff unless it's Alabama. I would love. That's fine. Boo me. I would say this: if the committee gets together and looks at these matchups, right, and they say, "Hey, okay, let's say Georgia wins, Alabama loses, Michigan loses, Cincinnati loses, Oklahoma State loses," you're right, right? And that thing, they're gonna say, "What's the better matchup? Alabama being in the college football playoff is good. I don't care what people say." It's good. Y'all hate, and y'all tweet me stuff when they're losing, but it's good because you hate them, and you hate watch them. So don't tell me that it's bad because the playoffs are highly rated, and people watch Alabama win or lose. It doesn't matter. They're the devil. People like watching it. It's great. I love it. So to me, that's great. Give me that matchup. Give me Nick Saban with a month to prepare for Notre Dame again.
I'd say this. I feel as if the committee has two teams that they really wish would win.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those teams didn't happen. It was Oregon last night. They got blown out by Utah.
I don't think so.
I feel like the chaos theory.
No, because Oregon, they're down at 10, dude. There's no way.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
Nope.
Coming into this weekend, I think the committee was hoping that Oregon would win the Pac-12 and that Oklahoma State would win the Big 12 in case all those other teams lose the rest of today, that they could slide in a conference champion. But listen, with the way Oklahoma State's playing right now and how pathetic Oregon was last night, those options aren't on the table.
Well,
so the only options the committee will have is to put in a team like Michigan and Notre Dame and Alabama, teams that possibly could lose today but still get into the playoff.
I also think they'll factor in if you give Saban a month to prepare for a team, he's going to beat them in the first round. It's different in the championship game, but if you give Saban a month to get ready and they get fully healthy – They would put them in. I think the committee is rooting for the easiest route possible. And the easiest route possible is that Oklahoma State comes back and wins this game. Cincinnati wins. Michigan wins. And Georgia beats Alabama. You just move everybody up. Cincinnati becomes the third team. And Oklahoma State becomes number four. And then you just, that's just how it goes. And they can just roll out those rankings tomorrow. They don't have to think about it. All they got to think about is the little meaningless bowl games that nobody cares about.
So what's your final prediction for tomorrow? Selection Sunday, tomorrow, 11 o'clock, ESPN. They'll give us the four teams in the college football playoff.
Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati. They're losing. I can't say Oklahoma State while they're losing, I guess.
No, listen, man, I think Notre Dame really has a shot now. If Oklahoma State loses.
All right, fine. Because they're losing right now, I will say Notre Dame at four. If Oklahoma State comes back and wins, I'm switching it to Oklahoma State.
Georgia, Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame.
Or wow. Oklahoma State.
How incredible would it be to kind of weave through the college football season to finally see Notre Dame get back to the top,
and then
Brian Kelly's not there.
Yeah. But that's the
thing. You love the vibe around that team right
now.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, though. Like, they're going to face Georgia? Ugh.
It's Bluck and Abdallah at Chicago's College Tailgate. Coming up in 2 minutes, we will preview Georgia and Alabama, the SEC title game. That's coming up in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's College Tailgate.